you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Helen Novak was born in Guildford, England, and came to the United States when she was 2.5 years old. Presently, she lives in the High Plains of South Dakota. Helen has 2 daughters and 4 grandchildren. She is semi-retired and works part-time as a medication aide at a nursing home. Many governments around the world are trying to say that concentration camps didn't actually exist during World War II and remove them from the history books. Helen has first-hand accounts that prove otherwise. Her family lived through and survived the horrors of a concentration camp during World War II. Prior to that war, people didn't believe it could happen, but it did, it can, and Helen firmly believes it will happen again if we don't stop it now. She doesn't want her children, grandchildren, or any of you and yours to suffer the way her parents, sister, and all those other prisoners of war did. Helen Novak, welcome to the Voice of Freedom.
Thank you, Brent.
And thank you for being willing to come on and tell us your story. I know when I first heard this from you, it was deeply, deeply touching, not only from a historical perspective, but extremely moving from an emotional perspective. And I appreciate your willingness to recount what is clearly an unbelievably painful memory.
Yes, it is a painful memory, and I'm hoping that this does not happen again. And I hope that people out there that have lived through this or their family members have lived through it open up and be honest about what they know, because if people are afraid to open up and say what they know, and they're not thinking about all the things that can come to be because they didn't say anything, it will affect their family as well as themselves.
And when you say that you believe that what happened in World War II will happen again if we don't stop it now, that's based on what you're actually seeing around you?
Yes, I live in a very rural area, and there have never been street signs here. Never. And now there are street signs. Most of them, I would say 98% of them, are numbers, and it's a lot easier to work with numbers than it is with names. Also, on the back of traffic signs, people will note there are little squares that are put in certain spots, and each square represents a military directional code for the FEMA camps. It's downright scary.
Do you believe that the FEMA camps are the modern-day equivalent of the Nazi concentration camps?
Yes, I do. Actually, I saw them on the History Channel or Documentary Channel. These 3 people, they ride around and do different things. And this one particular program, they went to a FEMA camp, and the barbed wire is fencing inward. There's military people around, and there's signs, don't come here, do not enter, you are not allowed. Also, I heard recently that President Obama wanted the FEMA camps to be fully staffed because he knows there's going to be some kind of problem somewhere. But I guess with all the things that are going on with all the peaceful rights and all the innocent people that are getting arrested and hurt, I'm thinking he's afraid and he's going to prepare himself for what's to come.
That's certainly been the cry from people all over the place, that something is coming our way. It's been well said that if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of our ancestors. I'd like you to take a few minutes, if you would, and give us a bit of a history lesson. Your parents actually went through a concentration camp and somehow managed to survive the experience. Take us back. Tell us the story, if you would.
The day my parents were married, Poland was invaded. My parents fled the church after their nuptials, and they went up into the hills hoping that they wouldn't be caught, but they did get caught. They were brought to concentration camp in Siberia, to Kazakhstan. They had their clothes taken away. They had their dignity, and they took everything away from them. But the thing that they couldn't take away was their will to survive and their faith in their higher power that something will save them.
I appreciate the sensitive nature of this, and I appreciate what I'm asking. Now, I know you weren't there, so I'm presuming that everything you tell us is what was told to you by your parents or by your sister. But can you give us an idea of some of what they experienced while they were in the concentration camps from the time that they were picked up in the hills of Poland to, you said it was Siberia they were taken to?
Yes, Kazakhstan. They had ovens there. They didn't have gas chambers. They had ovens. They stood and they watched as their family members and friends and other people were led into the ovens, and they were burned alive. They were fully conscious when they were in there.
Your parents actually saw people marched into ovens and heard them screaming as they died?
Yes, they did. My mom told me the stench of death was everywhere. They suffered diseases like typhoid and diphtheria. They had to eat rats because there wasn't enough food. My mom was pregnant, and she had to work in the field till she was in her 8th month. And then when she did bear my sister, her vaginal area had tore open. So they took iodine, and they poured it on the open wound. And as my mom was screaming from the pain, they were standing there laughing. That's pretty darn cruel, if you ask me.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of hard to talk about it.
I'm sure it is.
My mom and dad have told me these stories throughout my life over and over as if they knew that their story needed to be told. There was a dog that befriended my parents, and because they were so hungry, my dad said, "We have to kill this animal in order to survive." So during the whole time that my mom was cooking it and eating it, she cried, and I can understand that. Then finally, when they did free the people, they migrated south to Pakistan and Iran, and at a certain point, the group divided into three. One group went to India, the group my mom was with went to Africa with my sister, and the other group was the Polish-English Army, which my dad joined. He went through a lot during the war, and she went through a lot down in Africa. They were in contact with one another over the years, and then finally what ended up happening is my dad got wounded and my mom lost contact with him, and she didn't want to stay in Africa. So she got on a ship with my sister and sailed to England, because that's where she had heard from him the last time. And she contacted the English government, and by chance they found each other. I'm the result of that happy reunion. My mom wasn't happy in England. My dad gave her a choice to go back to Poland or come to the United States. My mom didn't want to go back to Poland. She was afraid what had happened would happen again. So she chose to come to the United States. She heard about the American dream. And so we came here when I was 2.5. And sure enough, they lived that American dream. Before they passed away, they were living very comfortably. However, the scars from concentration camp and the war.
I can't even imagine that healing ever. What amazes me is how they survived. When you consider the monstrosity that was Nazi Germany and Nazi concentration camps, how did they manage to get through? Were there ever any stories they told you when they either thought they were going to die or be killed or wanted to die or be killed? Did they ever reach that point, and how did they overcome those moments and survive it all?
No, they never talked about wanting to die. They only spoke of survival. When my dad, I'm not sure if it was diphtheria or typhoid, I think it was the typhoid, he became gravely ill and he came close to dying. And my mom doctored him back. Before he got ill, his hair was blonde. During the illness, he lost all his hair, and then when it grew back, it came back a brownish color, which amazes me. I couldn't understand that. The other thing is, my dad supposedly was Jewish. I never knew for a fact because he never spoke of it, but he denounced his faith because he didn't want to die. There are different Jewish traits that, as I look back, like at Easter time, a special ritual was taken in our home where we had a host that we bought from the church, And the head of the household would take that host and go to his wife, and she would break off a piece, and they would wish each other good health and goodwill and everything like that for the year. And then my dad would go to either my sister or myself, and he would do the same thing, and we would just do this to each other through the family. And I found out recently that this is called breaking of the bread, and it's a Jewish tradition. There were other things like don't eat meat and drink milk. My dad never really said he was Jewish, but the signs are there that he was an Orthodox Jew. The only time he went to church was on holidays, and there was one time he went and the priest says, "Oh my goodness, Novak is here. The church is going to fall down." And when he said that, my dad got upset and never went back again. Dad wanted his faith, but he couldn't have it. He wanted a place to go to worship, but he didn't have it. He was denied his faith. And it all has to do with the war.
How was it for you, hearing from your parents, not only hearing the stories, but hearing how they survived, how they did not succumb to despair? How has that been for you, carrying that with you?
They were a power of example. It's given me strength. I mean, if they can endure that, then I can endure things too. It's given me compassion. It's given me anger at what was done. I'm carrying their pain. I'm carrying their memories, and I'm passing them on to everyone else. I want people to hear what's been said. I want you to understand that everything is real. None of it's a lie. It was actually lived, and I don't want to see anybody else live through any of that. The torture that they went through and that everybody else went through is incredible. I can't believe that people would actually treat people in that respect. To be cooked in an oven while you're fully conscious, my mom had to work out in the field where it was icy and snowy and muddy, and she was pregnant and she endured it all.
That's amazing.
To have to eat rats because you have nothing else to eat. And then you get sick on top of it, and then the dirty water, if there was any water. Odds are they probably melted the snow. I've never really asked about that part, but this is what I'm thinking.
Do you believe that there are large numbers of people who genuinely believe that the Holocaust did not happen? Is it just a small number of politically vested interest people who are trying to promote this? Or is there a real belief among the populations of the world that there's a question about whether or not the Holocaust happened?
To me, it seems rather ridiculous. I think they're trying to conceal what they did. The Pope is German. Obama's grandfather was a Nazi. The Rockefellers, they're German. All these powerful people, they're involved in all of this stuff. Why are they trying to conceal it? Because they don't want us to know what they did? They don't want us to know what they can do?
If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it, and it may be as basic as that. But do you believe that most people in the world have bought into that? Or is it just those few vested interest people who are promoting this? Do you think people really believe the Holocaust didn't happen?
I don't understand why they don't want to believe it. Maybe it's because they weren't there.
The people that were there
are afraid to say something. They're afraid because of what they went through before that'll happen to them again because they open their mouth.
So are you saying that you think that most people are buying into the claim that it didn't happen?
I think a lot of people are buying into it because they didn't experience it. But I'm sure a lot of people out there who did go through World War II do believe it. And I think the majority of people do believe in it. The higher-ups just don't want to admit it. They want it their way, and that's it. And that makes me angry.
From your parents' experiences and from your experiences in telling their story, what can we learn to apply today to prevent the same thing from happening again?
Doing exactly what I'm doing right now, having this interview, hoping that people will listen to what I'm saying and take to heart not to be afraid to stand up. Not to be afraid to hold on to your freedom. For you, for your family, for your friends, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. They may threaten us, but what's the consequences? Either we open up our mouth like I'm doing right now. Maybe it'll just be me that they're going to do something to because I open my mouth. But if all of this takes place, it's not just going to be me. It's going to be my family. It's going to be my friends and a lot of other people. I don't want to see that happen.
It's like what I say on every show. They may take our lives, throw us in jail, steal our property, defame our character, but they cannot kill the truth.
Exactly. They can't kill it.
Not as long as one of us continues to carry it. And Helen, I cannot thank you enough for being willing to take the time and resurrect what is obviously and appropriately a very, very painful history, not only in our world, but in your life and in your family. On behalf of anyone and everyone who may be touched by your story and your words, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for letting me share this story, and I hope that it has helped. I truly do. And I thank you for the work that you do, carrying on all these messages and talking to people and trying to help. I appreciate that. I'm very grateful. God bless you.
And thank you, and God bless you. Helen Novak, daughter of two remarkable people who survived intact the atrocities of Nazi concentration camps.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.